Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, hey, welcome to InstaHam Part 2. We're so glad you're here today.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about killing the swine on the inside of all of us, especially with social media. Because social media, it has the ability to pull the pig out in me. I know it does. How many of you have ever been looking at that line, and the next thing you know, you're losing your mind, right? The line makes you lose your mind.
Yeah.
I've seen Jesse lose a day, a date, a week. You know what I mean?
I think you're supposed to confess your sins one to another.
It's more fun to confess her sins to you than my sins one to another.
It's true, though. You can get distracted. You can get pulled away from what really matters in the present. And just the next thing you know, you're wallowing around in the mud with all the pigs. And you have gone to a low level that you really didn't even know you could hit. And it matters to you. It distracts you from the dinner you're having with people, from the groceries you're supposed to get. And you come home, you got half the list. You're at work and you're not doing your work anymore. All you can think about is the next person that's commenting on that post and whether or not your comment got through. It just takes away from your real life, the life that God's called us to live.
Yeah, it brings the ham or the worst out in us.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not for throwing it away. We're for redeeming it, right? God wants us to use every platform to get his message out, but we got to use it and not let it use us.
Absolutely.
And really, here's what Paul said, Galatians 5:16. Probably the verse I've quoted more than any other verse in my life. Whenever I first got saved, I used this to get myself out of all sorts of habits. And that is, Paul said this, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Right? We have the Spirit, which is the God-redeemed side of us. We have the flesh, which is the fallen human nature. And I think the Spirit is when we act like Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
And the flesh is when we let the pig take over. And here's some things I know about the pig on the inside of me. Or just say pigs in general. If you get around a bunch of pigs, you'll have flies.
Absolutely.
Right? Are there flies around your home in Kentucky right now? Flies around your home in Amarillo, Texas? Flies around your home wherever you're at?
Yeah.
I think our kids are calling all the neighborhood flies over to our place, letting them know that there's something to eat. Because
there seem to be more flies this year than there have ever been in the history of all humanity.
It's a full-time job killing flies, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So these flies, they show up. And a fly can take your eyes off of the prize very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. That fly shows up, you're doing something, this pesky fly is driving me crazy, flying around my head. You know, the Bible says that the devil, another name for the devil, is the Lord of the flies. Or Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. I hate flies. I want to read this text to you.
I just want to say something about flies.
Talk about it.
It's interesting to me what a fly will do, because once a fly starts bothering you, you just start following it, and everything else kind of goes into the backlog or the woodwork, and that fly is the primary. The other day we were in the house and there was a fly. I had everyone chasing it except for Briley, and had the fly swatter. We were looking, we were focused on getting that fly, and I found it. I saw it. I saw nothing else. It was like everything else disappeared into the woodwork, and all I could see was that fly. Had the fly swatter in my hand. I approached it and I went to whack it, and as soon as I hit it, I realized that it was on Briley's shoulder, and she was so mad at me, but she started laughing. She said, "Mom, what are you doing?" I said, "I got it." She said, "Yeah, but that's the first time you've ever whacked me with a fly swatter in my lifetime." And then everybody got tickled, but that's the way that flies do. The Lord of the flies would love to get us distracted from everything that matters, make it all go away, have us hyper-focus on what he wants us to do, and do anything and everything to attack that thing, to be a part of that thing, to focus on that thing. He loves to take us away from the people that really matter.
Yeah, Briley had it coming.
Absolutely.
Hey, let me read you this text out of Matthew, where Jesus talks about Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. It's something, you know, swirling around the pig in us. Matthew 12:24, he said this, or this is how it reads. "Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, or the Lord of the flies, the ruler of demons.' But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. See, the fly is there, and the fly is trying to solidify his kingdom. He's trying to distract everybody. He's trying to mess everybody up. You know, it's like think of what a fly can do in your mentality at a summer picnic. You ever go out to the great summer picnic, man, or let's call it a church potluck, where it's kind of like Russian roulette, right? You don't know who's cooked what, and I know you're walking up and you're looking for your mama's dish, your sister-in-law's dish, and your grandmother's dish, right?
Yep.
And you're going to double down on that because you don't want something funky from the potluck. And you go uncovering that food, you want to be the first person to the food.
Absolutely.
So the fly can't spoil the food. There's so many flies in the digital realm now. There are digital distractions all the time. You know, the stats show that we are distracted digitally 85 times a day.
85 times a day.
You got that cell phone on, it's coming at you 85 times a day. Now, I'm for using all the technology, but that is not using the technology. That's the technology using you.
Absolutely.
It's massive.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting because we do not see that as a distraction. We see that as an engagement. Every time that the ding hits us, we see it as an engagement. We get excited. And we see our children in our home as a distraction. I had a mom who had a lot of kids, and she told me, I have to remember I'm doing all of these other things, progressing in my life, learning, becoming better. But she said, I have to remember that those things are the distraction. My children are the blessing.
Oh, and say that again.
Those things are the distraction. My children are the blessing. We have a tendency to push away what God has given us as our blessing, as the thing that he puts on us to show his blessing on us. We tend to put them away as the distraction and embrace these engagements that are actually the very thing that the devil is using to distract us from what God's given to us.
See, you have to learn to ignore the distractions.
Yeah.
I heard a pastor I knew, just know him as an acquaintance, didn't know him well, but I was listening to him teach one day because the guy's ministry was blowing up and I wanted to see, you know, what's this about? And he was talking about being down in Latin America. He was doing some mission work. And it was in a village type setting. And you get in some of those villages and it's like going back a long time.
Yeah.
And he said the leaders of the village were up talking. They're leading this village meeting. And he said there was a donkey on the side of the meeting. And the donkey's braying, and the donkey's hee-hawing, and the donkey's raising a fuss. I don't know if you've ever been around a donkey, but it's something else, you know. And he said it was driving him crazy. And it's driving him nuts, and nobody else is even paying attention to the donkey.
Mm-mm.
And he's like, why is this driving me crazy? And they're just acting like this is, you know, business as usual. And he said the Spirit of God spoke to him out of that situation. He said he heard it come up out of his spirit, and God said, you're going to have to learn to ignore the donkey in your life, right? There's always going to be a fly. There's always going to be a donkey. There's always going to be Beelzebub, and you have to learn to ignore the donkey in your life. The funny thing about this guy, you know, it's so easy to preach things. It's so hard to practice them.
Yeah.
He had the greatest revelation.
There's an anointing to preach. There's not the same anointing to live it in your everyday, right? You've got to actually do it.
We got to live it by faith just like they did.
Absolutely.
The anointing comes to minister, but living the principles is by faith. So this guy knew how to preach it, but he didn't know how to practice it.
Mm-mm.
And literally, I watched him later, a few years later, getting these social media fights. I'm just going down Twitter. He's like taking on teenagers on Twitter about football games. And it kind of became a beginning of an unraveling of who he was. And it affected him so deeply, he lost what he was a leader of. It was a really sad story.
He forgot to ignore the donkey.
And I wonder why it's like that. Why do people do that? And there's a science behind it we'll talk about in a minute that's so strong.
It's true.
But it's kind of like, what did the Australians used to say about the tiger sharks?
Well, the tiger sharks would get so distracted chasing the minnows. And they were bigger than the minnows and more powerful than the minnows and should have been able to resist the minnows. But they couldn't resist the minnows. They just had to chase them. And they started finding these tiger sharks up on the beach. They would beach themselves because they would chase them up to parts that they were too big to dwell in. And I think sometimes we find ourselves chasing the lowest parts of humanity, the lowest parts of society, the lowest conversations, the lowest impact topics. We get so distracted with those, and God's created us to be big, to be shark, to be the one that's in charge of this life. And instead, chasing those minnows, we end up beaching our life. We end up putting ourselves in a position that we can't get out of on our own because we were living in a spot that wasn't created for us. Did you know you're created to live in a spot that is big enough for the big inside of you? God's placed Jesus on the inside of you. The Bible says that the Holy One dwells on the inside of you. When you accept Christ into your life, that you begin to, right at that moment, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself is powerful inside of you. You have the same power that conquered the grave inside of you. And God expands the borders of your tent. He expands who you are, and you begin to grow. And I want you to know today, you're too large to be dwelling where the minnows can swim. It's not a big enough space for you because God wants you to dwell in a spot that was created for you.
That's awesome. Come on, born again believer, you are not the minnow.
Yeah.
You are the shark. There's
Absolutely.
Something large living on the inside of you. Don't go to low places. Come on, we're going to live high.
I love
in Jesus' mighty name. It's just that tiger shark deal. You know, there's always going to be something that's going to take a shot at you to get you to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what the world does, it's what the devil does. And a lot of times people respond and it's lowering themselves at such a level, and then it's elevating whoever's taking the shot. Mm-hmm. It's like hip hop culture and rap culture. They've been playing this game since the beginning of time, right? So I'm all hip hop. I mean,
oh,
check
yeah.
me out. Listen to my accent, you know?
It's the one and only Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
I'm actually, my musical style is anything they play out in the country in the South at night at
there
a party. That's what I am. But I love watching the hip hop culture guys, how they operate. And some of them are incredible business and sales guys.
Marketers.
Yeah, Forbes just started doing a list on like which hip hop kings made the most money, how they market. And here's what they'll do. They've been doing it since the beginning of time. If there's somebody that's made it in the rap game and there's somebody climbing the ladder a little bit, what he'll do to get some publicity is he'll start firing on and taking shots at the bigger artist. And his hopes are to tick him off enough that he'll take a shot back. And whenever the big guy takes the shot back, all it does is pull up their platform. This just happened. It's been in the news cycle recently with Eminem. And I know you're all big Eminem fans. And Machine Gun Kelly, who was a rapper, and it's a great name, isn't it?
It is.
I wish I'd have been Machine Gun Gibson. That would have been awesome.
Be Shotgun Gibson.
Shotgun Gibson. I'm coming after you, Machine
it's
Gun
a
Kelly.
More fitting.
This is my shot at Machine Gun Kelly right now.
It's the one and only Deagle Double G.
He's gonna answer me via rap and make my rap
happen.
So here's the deal. So Machine Gun Kelly, supposedly, they're both white boy rappers and they're good at what they do. And he didn't go after Eminem. I don't know if Eminem felt threatened. These guys probably worked this out behind the scenes somewhere. But Eminem takes shots at Machine Gun Kelly, all right? So Machine Gun Kelly turns around and writes this song about it. It gets like 47 million views. What you do, let's take it outside of that. That's the old
same.
Game.
Thank you for firing on me.
Thank you. Fire on me every day of my life,
you just
right?
made me.
I'm telling you what, whenever you answer somebody that's acting small on social media, all you have done is empowered an idiot with the larger platform.
Yeah.
And I refuse in my life to empower that idiot at a higher level, right? I don't want to be the minnow. I want to live like the shark, right? And I just think it's powerful.
Well, it's just so interesting that we have literally created a platform for any person with any background, with any psychological situation, that they can hop on, and then we take it as fact because, let's face it, they typed it out.
It's gotta
be
right.
It was typed. When it became, when it started coming across the feed to put a background and then like a statement as if it was a quote, I thought it was beautiful how many people who cannot even run their own lives began to destroy people and distract people on social media because they put a pink background and a bold type in front of it as a quote, and they began to become some kind of informant.
They're an authority.
An authority.
They have a Facebook page.
People began to share these things and look at them, and they became an important part of their day. I'm telling you, God has created us for more than this spot. And if we are going to use our social media status for something, let's use it to get the words of Jesus out to people, to get
That's
the
awesome.
Heart of God out to people, to actually comment on something that matters in this life, and to, you know, spread God's word and his gospel and his love to people that are around us and influence people, be an encouragement, be a blessing. There's a scripture that I want to share with you from Philippians, and it is a great one. And I talked about it last week in one of the messages that we had as a filter for what we can put things through. You know, coffee is a beautiful thing, and it can go through a filter and produce this juice that is from heaven. I mean, it changes lives. It keeps children alive. Coffee.
Yes, it does.
Is an
keeps marriages together.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, coffee changes the world. And it's a bunch of gritty, grimy, even dry grit. And you take one filter, pour some hot water through it, and it becomes the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. I mean, it changes your life. And I think that this scripture is really the filter that God would have us to put everything that the world provides us. We have to put it through the filter of the Word of God. In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report." That's a good one for social media. Not every single tragic thing and every woman that's being stolen in a Walmart, but whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he's commanding us, think on these things. These are the things that I want to consume your mind. These are the things that I want you to be overflowing with. So if we look at something and we wonder, I wonder if this is something I should share, something I should comment on, something I should chase, something I should be a part of, I think Philippians 4:8 is a great scripture to run that grit through and allow God to give us something lovely on the other side. Whatever is of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any praise in it, how about we think on these things and share it so that other people can think on it too?
Meditate on the good stuff
and
not the bad stuff. You know, we talk about this stuff and we all kind of know this already, right? We're not saying a lot right here that people haven't thought about.
No.
But you watch and people still violate these principles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all do it. I've done it. You've done it.
Sure.
Everybody's done it. I'm not getting down on this. But I think the science behind the way we react to the screen is so strong, sometimes we haven't considered what we're up against, right?
That's true.
It can almost be like you're up against, you know, you're just starting your Jedi training and you got Darth Vader in the room with you. It can be like that. And here's why. The way the whole thing works is you're playing a game. Listen to this quote. This quote is by an angel investor. This guy co-founded AngelList. He also co-founded Epinions, which went public as shopping.com. And this guy invested in, early on, he invested in Twitter, Uber, Yammer, Stack, Overflow, and Monelo. This guy knows the social media world. He knows the game. He knows digital devices. And he's become a very wealthy man.
True.
Here's what he said about the way they are affecting our life. This is his quote. "I don't think modern science has good answers here in this area."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I think that the modern world is actually really bad. The modern world is full of distractions. Things like Twitter and Facebook are not making you happy. They're making you unhappy.
Yeah.
You're essentially playing a game that's created by the creators of those systems. And yes, it can be a useful game once in a blue moon. You're engaging in the dispute, resentment, comparison, jealousy, anger about things that frankly just don't matter." See, they know how to pull us in to all the digital distractions.
Absolutely.
And make us lose our mind. Part of that is because the way your brain fires whenever we get feedback on social media. They say that there's this normal part of every person.
Absolutely.
There's a reward cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you hit a big goal or you get a response out of people because you've done something of worth.
Well, God created you to love blessing people relationally, that if someone's happy with you, you have a hormonal rush that covers your brain that says, yes, this is a good thing. If you make a goal, if you hit a goal in your job, God wants you to feel the reward system of a hormone that washes over your brain that says, great job, do this again. That's how God trained. He released it physically in our body so that we would be a people that would be productive, that we would relationally want to have we would want to have relationships, that we would want to connect with people, that we would want to be kind to one another. God created us to respond when we have these engagements. And the devil knew that. And so he's taken some of these social media things and perverted them. And now what we see is that every time that there's a like, I actually talked to a young person today that told me that if they post something on social media and within 10 minutes they don't have more than 10 likes, they immediately delete it from their social media.
They pull it down.
They pull it down because of, I don't know if it's because they want, it's a fear that they're not being successful relationally, a fear of missing out on what's going on. All these things have started coming, and we are handing our children and our teenagers an apparatus that is causing them to either experience these wonderful hormonal washes or depressing them because they're not receiving that backup. And it may just be that they posted earlier than 5 o'clock in the afternoon and everyone's still in school, but on the inside of them, their hormones don't know the difference in there being no one on social media to like their post, or that people just don't like them. See, their frontal lobe isn't completely formed, and so they don't have the ability to process all of that information properly. They're just hearing what their hormones say. How many of you know, when you're young, hormones tell you a lot of things to do, and sometimes they have a tough time responding. But I found that even in our adult world, that we have a tough time deciphering between.
I wonder if my frontal lobe's fully developed.
I'm not sure.
I don't know sometimes. Here's what it's called. It's serotonin, literally, is what it is. So it's a different endorphin. I may have the science not perfect on this, but there's like three different things that are released. Mm-hmm. Some in the female brain, some in the male brain. It's dopamine. There's one more. I'll leave it to you medical professionals out there. But I know this. I describe it like this. It's happy juice.
Yeah.
Right? When you hit a good golf shot, boom, you're happy if you're a golfer. You catch a big bass, you're happy. You finish the building project, you're a builder, you're happy. And so this thing, these phones and all of these digital interactions, they are wired to speed up that process.
Yeah.
I post, you like, I'm happy. All right? I post, you don't like, I'm not happy, I'm sad. And so all of these users on these devices, especially ones that use more social media platforms, mm-hmm. they're finding out the more social media platforms someone uses, the more depressed they are.
Yeah.
If you compare them against people that might be on one or two, people that are on there all the time. I found it in my life very early. I got on Facebook, I don't remember how many years ago, and I would post something, and when I got response, man, it made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody responded, I was kind of bummed out.
Yeah.
And so these young people that don't have a normal grid in life, social media is their life.
Yeah.
We just got to wonder. It's like we're a giant science experiment. And they even have the new terms like FOMO, all right? What is FOMO? Fear of missing out. This is what's happening to a lot of our teens. I think this thing is behind driving a lot of the teen suicide.
Yeah.
It the shooter situations.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out. Here's what fear of missing out is, or FOMO. Let's say if I get on social media and I look, it's Friday night, right? It's Friday night, and I wanna be out in the middle of everything. It's Friday.
Yeah.
And I look, and all my buddies are at a party together. They're having a big time. They're at a ball game, and they did not invite me.
Yeah.
All right. Why did they not invite me? I want to be at the party. I want to have a big time.
I love ball games.
I love ball games. Why am I not
I'm
there?
I'm fun.
Right. And so now it's creating a depression that used to people wouldn't see. They wouldn't
have even noticed that happened. The other part of this is that everything that we do, we're trying to create it to be picture worthy. I went on a field trip with my junior high daughter one day. And we were at this wonderful, wonderful place that all of the young girls were excited to be at. They wanted to see it. They wanted to look at the exhibits. They wanted to be a part of it. They were telling me that they were excited. And the minute that we got there, we could not look at anything because they were taking so long to take pictures of themselves at the place that they were enjoying that they never even saw the exhibit. I said, girls, don't you think it's time that we look at the exhibit? They said, one more photo. I bet I watched them take 157 photos that day, trying to get the right one so that they could put it on social media so that someone would know that we were at the exhibit that day. Problem was, they never saw the exhibit. This happens all the time. I see moms do this whenever it's their kid's birthday.
Let me take a selfie.
They are so busy trying to set up a photo booth so that everyone that comes and attends the party will have this cute little photo op that they forget to even take the time to watch their child have their birthday party or open that present, maybe put their face in that cake when they're 1 year old. They're more worried about grandma having the photo op that she needs in front of the right balloons in the right place with her hand on her hip and her knee out than we are about enjoying the life that God has given us. And if there's one thing I could encourage you to do today, I dare you to have a major life moment, go pick out your Christmas tree this year and don't video it and ask everyone to comment on what tree you should pick out. Just let your kids enjoy the scent of pine. I mean, we as a culture must take in the reins of our own life and give our children and our families a life that's worth living. Something where it doesn't matter what someone thinks about our Christmas tree. Our Christmas tree's a Charlie Brown tree and our family likes it. Whatever makes your boat float, I think that's what you should do. And
it's awesome.
I dare you not to post it, not to ask for likes on it, not to video it. I dare you to go one moment of your life that's a celebration for your family and not let anyone else on the planet in on your moment. You see, God's created us to build bonds in our family, to build relationship, and to teach our children that there is one voice that matters in our life, and that voice is Jesus's voice to us. His approval, his saying, man, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that we answer to that voice, that like matters more than any of the other
Amen.
Likes. So it's a big deal. And I think that if we got to the point that we could have those moments sometimes without having to publicize it, it would really build that family unit. And honestly, our kids need to see the distraction come away for a while and the impartation of our love and in our time.
That's awesome. I think here's the things we should close with today. I think we got to ignore the flies.
Yeah.
Come on, let's ignore the flies. I think we focus on the positive, just like that scripture said, whatsoever things are lovely,
yeah,
of good report, we focus on that. And the last idea I think you could put into place today is that you got to learn to shut the entry point of the most flies, right? Where are the flies coming from into my life? And then I need to pare that thing back. I got to shut the window and not let them have me.
We went on a low-carb diet just a few weeks ago, and we had an entry point. See, we forgot that we had a bag of potatoes in our house that was drawing terrible things. We created flies in our house.
They were everywhere.
That place. We had left our house for a couple of days, and when we came back, we were infested. And what we did was take those potatoes, clean everything out, throw it into the dumpster, and we began to live free of flies. Sometimes you have to take the rotten out. You got to take the entry point out. We want to redeem social media. We don't want to just throw it out altogether. But how many of you know a little fasting, a little pulling back, a little honing in on what it is that's creating an entry point of the flies might be necessary?
Are you suggesting they can go 10 minutes without checking their feed line? You're suggesting that?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I think we could all do that. You can set that phone down. You can turn that Facebook and that Instagram off. Those people will be there when you get back. You will not miss that much, I promise you. And I'll tell you want a peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards your heart and guards your mind. Put the phone down sometime on Saturday, right? Have a line for emergency somewhere where the people that got to have you might be able to get you. But turn the clutter off. Come on, God's going to lift us. We're going to be the tiger shark, not the minnow.
Amen.
We're not going to let the devil drive us crazy. We're going to rise higher.
I want to tell you one thing. I actually believe that you can do it. Even if you don't believe in yourself today, I'm telling you, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Brian, we love you. We believe in you.
Yes,
and
we do.
I know God has a better plan than distraction, flies, donkeys, and all that junk for your family. You're not a pig. You're a warrior. And God's called you for such a time as this.
Come on, let's pray for him right now, Jesse. If you're out there, you may want to lift a hand to heaven right now. Stand up on your feet. Come on, let's pray. Father, we pray and we bless the people yes. right now. I thank you for them. I thank you, Father, that the flies aren't going to get the best out of them. I thank you that we're not going to be pigs with flies swarming around us. Lord, we're going to live as the redeemed saints of God. So, Lord, I pray you make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves yes. right now. Give us your strategy. Let us know what we need to cut back, what we need to pare out of our life. Lord, show us where we need to Sabbath.
Thank you,
exactly
God.
Where. And, Lord, I thank you that you give us a plan that brings peace, that brings prosperity, that brings mental soundness and clarity into every area of our life. I bless the people, and Lord, we break the power of the fly out of our life. In Jesus' mighty name, we
Amen.
Pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.